In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, we find the prophet in prayer. And here is his prayer. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. The preaching of Jeremiah, foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of King Zedekiah, was not warmly received. Jeremiah was regarded as a traitor. He was thought to be on the payroll of the Babylonians. His liberty was taken away. But while in prison, the Lord instructed his servant to buy a field that his cousin was selling. The whole transaction was not to be conducted in secret, but in a public way. It was to be lawfully signed and sealed in the open, in the prison court. The buying of this ground was a pledge from the Lord that he would bring his people back to the land. That's what we discover in verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Even as this transaction was being rubber stamped, the Chaldean army was encamped in the fields surrounding Jerusalem. They were waiting to see, for the siege to cripple the resolve of the people to hold out any longer. No essential supplies have reached Jerusalem for days. It's just a matter of the enemy waiting, it seems. The fall of Jerusalem is imminent. Jerusalem's plight is testimony to the fact that sin is a reproach to any people. Their departure from God has brought this people low. Read with me in verses 28, 29, and 30 of the chapter. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. All these were challenging circumstances for the prophet. Jeremiah must have wondered, would Jerusalem really recover its former glory? He has the promise of a full restoration in this purchase of the field. And so, armed with the promise, Jeremiah went back to his dungeon and he got alone with God. He lifted up his heart at the throne of grace. And this, the verse 17, was his cry. In every age, there are challenges, seeming impossibilities in the ways of God's people. Insurmountable obstacles come before us. If we did not face such, we would not be cast on the Lord. We would become prayerless and self-confident. What a challenge the past 12 months have been in the work of God. COVID-19, what a challenge. It robbed us of the public assembly. It was necessary that we be apart for safety's sake. It thwarted us in reaching the children, the Sunday school children, the children's meeting, the youth work. It hampered us in so many ways. The work of God is so difficult in our time. This is a materialistic, affluent age. We see hard hearts on every hand. The citadels of sin dare our assault. The world mocks us as those enemies mocked Nehemiah of old. Jeremiah, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and so can we. As Jeremiah sought the Lord, so must we. May our faith be strengthened by this fact that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. As we come to our text, we notice three things. First of all, Jeremiah's acknowledgement when he says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm." Do you see how the prophet acknowledged God as the creator, the originator of all things? This servant of the Lord, he believed Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Paul, preaching to the believers at Colossae in Colossians 1 in verses 16 and 17, speaking of the Lord, he has this to say, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." With whom did God consult? Who gave him counsel in the great work of creation? None. When the clouds were balanced, when the foundations of the earth were laid and put in place, who taught God the laws of gravity? Who weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? There were no angels, archangels, in whom to confide. The sovereign God spoke this world into existence out of nothing. Consider the wonder of creation, the vastness of it all. The closest star to Earth is 4.3 light years away. That is to say, traveling at the speed of light, which is approximately 186,000 miles per second. If it were possible to make a road to the nearest star and you began to proceed in its direction at 60 miles per hour, the journey would take you something like 47.5 million years. The furthest star is so distant from us that the journey would take 800,000 million years. The statistics are staggering. No wonder Romans 1 and verse 20 affirms, "The eternal power of the Godhead is seen by the things that are made." God has displayed His mighty power in the creating of all things, great and small. David, when pursued by Saul and in danger of his life, he sought the Lord in Psalm 54 and verse 1. And this was his cry, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength." Save me, O God, by thy name. And what is the name, the divine name, that David has before him at this critical junction? It is the name in the original for God as Creator. And David is saying, if the great Creator is with me, then all is well. Who is the proper recipient of prayer? Jehovah, the supreme, eternal, self-existent being, the one who is great in counsel and mighty in work. Spurgeon said, "There is nothing little in God." Oh, you have a great God and Savior. And whatever the circumstances, whatever the trial, whatever the challenge, with confidence look to the God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. This was Jeremiah's acknowledgement. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm." But then secondly, in this text, we come to Jeremiah's argument, where he says, "There is nothing too hard for thee, since God has made all things by the word of his power out of nothing." The prophet argues that there is nothing too hard for him. Jeremiah's dungeon was lit up with vivid recollections of Israel's history, lit up with recollections of how the Lord wrought wonders on his people's behalf. Jeremiah recalls the wonder of Israel's deliverance from Pharaoh, from Egypt. Notice this in verse 20. Speaking of God who has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day. Thou hast brought forth thy people Israel, verse 21, out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. The Lord used signs and wonders. Some of those signs the magicians could counterfeit. We know that Egypt was a very dry and dusty place. And so in Exodus chapter 8 and the verse 16, this word came to Aaron. Moses was told, "Say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." The magicians, they were powerless to imitate this wonder. In verse 18, we read of them. The magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. The magicians in verse 19 could only say to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." God got a name for himself down in Egypt. He wrought miracles, wonders there that brought glory to His name. God brought His people out as He promised. The Passover night came when the blood of the Lamb applied to the doorposts was the savor of life to those trusting in it, the savor of death to those rejecting it. Many of the Egyptian fathers and mothers may have been the firstborn in their respective families, and with their own firstborn, they perished. Such was the consternation among the ranks. They pleaded with Pharaoh. Pharaoh pleaded with Moses and Aaron, "Rise up and go." And once on their way to the promised land, Pharaoh and his army were soon in hot pursuit. The people journeyed to the edge of the Red Sea. And what a challenge it presented. It seemed impossible. How could it ever be crossed? The people reasoned in Exodus 14 and verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt?" They despaired. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." God made a way where there was no human way. A wall of water on either side ensured a safe passage through. The Lord was not at a loss as to how to deliver His people from Egypt and to bring them in to the promised land. The Lord provided a powerful deliverance, a wonderful salvation, so that Moses and his people in Exodus 15, they sang this song, "The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Jeremiah recalled the wonder of Israel's deliverance. Something more as he thought about history. He recalled the justice and the judgment of God. Do you see what we read in verse 19 of Jeremiah 32? "The Lord is great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." He thinks of the justice and the judgment of God. And he must have considered Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities, with their unspeakable wickedness. The wickedness of those places was visited with fire and brimstone. Hardened hearts are not beyond the reckoning of the God of justice and judgment. The powers that be, our government, has cast away God's laws. It has burst asunder the cords of God's moral law. But be assured that God will bring them to account. Moses could say to the people in Exodus 14 and verse 13, "The Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Not one, not a single one of them returned to Pharaoh's court to tell the tale. The justice and judgment of God overtook them. Oh, it's a solemn thought concerning the last day of this age that everyone will have to do with the God of justice and judgment. It's written up concerning Enoch and his comprehension of that last great day in Jude verses 14 and 15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." The day of reckoning is before Enoch, and the day of reckoning will surely come. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God unprepared. Romans 14 and verse 11 says, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Are you prepared to meet God? Are you right with God? Oh, if not, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. It is time to prepare to meet God. It is time to be saved. May you come to the saving knowledge of our great God and only Redeemer. Believer, remember Jeremiah's argument. There is nothing too hard for thee. Think of Abraham and Sarah. Remember how the Lord promised a son. It was a human impossibility, but the promise had this word attached to it in Genesis 18 and verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" When the angel brought the news to Mary that she would miraculously bring forth a son, the Savior of the world, Mary asked, "How shall this be?" She was in essence saying in her heart, "It's impossible." But all her doubts and fears were swept away in the words of the angel, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Oh, this was Jeremiah's argument. There is nothing too hard for thee. When he makes bare his arm, who shall his work withstand? When he his people's cause defends, Who shall stay his hand? Jeremiah's acknowledgement and his argument. But lastly, we see his anticipation. God gave Jeremiah a promise, and he expected him to anticipate its fulfillment. God expected Jeremiah to act on the promise. The hyper-Calvinist, he will say to himself, God will fulfill his purpose. He will bring it to pass. He will fulfill his word. God will bring the promises to pass. But he accomplishes his will through his people. And let this text act as a spur, a stimulus. The Lord has commanded us to preach the word in season and out of season. The apostles in Acts 5 and verse 20 were told to go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. We are to do the work of the evangelist. We have this encouragement. This encouragement, let us then be up and doing. God has said, I will work, and who shall let it, who shall hinder it? What a challenge Noah faced when told to build the ark on dry land. What a challenge confronted Abraham when he was told to offer up the son, the only son, the son of his love, the son of promise. What a task Joshua had going round Jericho, walled up to heaven for 7 days. No weapons, nothing but the blast of the ram's horn. Has your faith faltered? Is your spirit depressed? Jeremiah's confidence, may it be yours and mine. Let it silence our fears. Strengthen our hands. Revive our hopes. Increase our courage. Motivate our prayers. Ignite our evangelism. Let us go forward knowing that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard can be for my Almighty God. Sufficient is His grace for all who hang upon His word. Here is His word. Behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee.